Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Dr. Bo Bruce.
There's a lot going on outside the doors of this church. Protests have erupted across the nation. People have been detained, released, uncertain, overly certain, protesting and rejoicing. Most disturbing, a young man was killed just over there last night. There's a lot of frustration out there. There's a lot of depression out there. A lot of anxiety out there. A lot of anger out there. It's hard to find anyone who's on an even keel emotionally right now. And it can be very overwhelming. Maybe it makes you want to cower in fear or run away and hide. For others, I imagine it makes you want to react. Go out there and get revenge on your enemy or your perceived enemy. Maybe you'll join one of those generally peaceful protests to get out some of that angst. Perhaps you'll react violently, either against things or people. I hope not, as that's clearly something our Lord would not support. Rather, we know he was sternly against resolving things through that kind of violence. So perhaps you'll take to the internet to bash someone. Would you say it to their face? And even if you would, is it fair to them? Would you want someone posting something about you that you might not even see or have the chance to respond to? Or maybe it isn't even a person you're upset about, but a movement or a cause. And you can spew back the anti-movement's mantras that seem to have only gotten the two groups nowhere closer to common ground. Everyone seems more willing to talk than to listen. Today we hear Jesus telling a parable to the multitudes in which the kingdom of God is likened to a man who planted good seed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. When the master is asked about whether they should go weed it out, he says no, because in gathering the weeds you will root up the wheat along with them. And so instead let them grow together until harvest and then sort it out. The context of this parable is quite interesting. Here in Matthew, Jesus starts off by telling the parable of the sower. I know that sounds kind of similar to this one, but that's the one where the seed is spread all around. Some goes on the rocky ground, some on the good soil, etc. I'm sure you now remember that one. So after he tells that particular parable, the disciples come to him and say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answers them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it.'" A few notes on this at this point. Some want to say that Jesus is saying that the multitudes are not allowed to know, or that they don't have a right to an explanation of this stuff. But Isaiah gives the clear answer and response to that. And first, let's note that this passage has what's called a chiastic structure. These structures are kind of these Russian dolls. And they come all from the outside into the inside. And where the pinnacle of that meets is sort of the thesis or the main point of what's being said. And so we see in this passage the heart, ears, eyes, ears, heart. So it's telling us that we need to focus in on the middle part, which is, "And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes." So, in other words, they have closed their eyes, and all they need to do is open them. And if they did that, then they would hear with their ears and understand with their heart. And turn, that is repent, and God would heal them. So this is one important thing. It's their own action that has made them unable to understand what the parable truly means. He then goes on to explain in detail to the disciples what the parable of the sower means. Then, presumably at another time, because he's back talking to the crowd, he tells the parable of the weeds, which we just heard. And Matthew reminds us after this parable and two other very short ones, also about the kingdom of God, that Jesus said nothing without a parable to fulfill these prophecies from Isaiah. He says, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. It's also from Isaiah. So then the disciples come to him again, as they did with the parable of the sower, and they ask him to explain this parable that we heard today. And Jesus answers, the one who sows good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Well, I guess we're done. No need for a sermon or exegetical work because we have it right from the mouth of Jesus. We know what the parable means. So we can stop, finish up our prayers, and go grab some lunch, right? Well, maybe not. I think we need to take a little time to let all that sink in and give us something other than knowing that we need to be faithful servants of the kingdom here and now if we expect to be shining like the sun in the kingdom of the Father in heaven. We all know that. It's a very important message. And it should be in the forefront of our thinking. But there's a little bit more to get from this, I think. First, we see that these parables, while they have a deeper spiritual meaning, are not some sort of riddle that needs extensive contemplation. I'm sure you would have come up with an explanation nearly the same as Jesus if I'd asked you what you thought the parable meant. And that's good news, because it means your eyes are open, and that you're blessed, because Jesus says so, for truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not hear it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. But it also means, as Isaiah said, that you're ready to turn. And I believe that's why this passage is here in our lectionary. Because we are, before we know it, about to be in the season of turning, repenting. That's Lent. And we will hear an even more urgent and concerning set of words from Jesus next week in the Gospel. And although Lent can seem an onerous task to some, as we heard from Isaiah, when we turn, the Lord's ready and willing to heal us. Repentance is not something to fear. We should not be paralyzed with guilt and shame over our sins. That is the work of the devil. In time, all will be made manifest, because that is the work of our good and loving God. Because by confessing it, making it all open, all plain, only then can we really perceive it. And for those that are ready, it leads to forgiveness and healing from God. And that brings me back full circle to what I started talking about. A lot of our public discourse these days is characterized by what I would call closed-mindedness. And as we see, that leads to all anger, confusion, and angst we see around us. And we may even be feeling personally challenged by this during this time. Closed-mindedness is our modern, overly intellectualized word for exactly what Isaiah is talking about. Instead of thinking we know it all, as so many did at Jesus' time, about who the Messiah would be, etc., we need to open our minds to the suffering servant, who is God himself incarnate, willing to suffer and die for us. A concept so foreign to anyone at Jesus' time, It's shocking that the disciples even recognized it. And we know it did take them some time, as it has each of us. So I'd urge you today, if we want to find truth and peace, we need to open our eyes, our minds, our ears, our hearts, and listen to our neighbor. I know it can be hard to listen to people who don't listen to you, who seem so irrational. But if we hope to open their eyes, we must be willing to show them we can do it. The enemy has planted evil weeds amongst us. And if we try to root them up, we're likely to unroot ourselves. Instead, we must be firm and steadfast in what we believe, rooted in it, and be unafraid to let those who grow up amongst us, who are weeds, or seem to be weeds, grow along with us and see us grow in that rooting. And also feel confident that in time the Lord will sort it out. However, we shouldn't just give up. As the story tells us, we need to be vigilant, lest we sleep and the enemy come and sow more weeds as he appears to do every day. And so maybe there are a few young and tender weeds you can pluck out, but unfortunately your frustrated engagement with so much of what's going on today, while it may be righteous in concept, may not be in practice. So don't try to dig up what's already firmly rooted, lest you hurt yourself or your neighbor in the process. Instead, listen to them, even if you don't agree. And what I recommend is exposing the truth, not in some polarized, cherry-picking way of facts to use as your, one-up debate point. Admit they have some of the truth on their side, because I bet they do. And I doubt that you'll find any place where they don't. And by exposing the truth, the real truth, no matter how ugly it is, no matter how much it sort of doesn't support your thesis fully, you're doing what our Lord will do on that dread judgment day. Gently stand your ground, but only about the totality of the truth, not just your favorite bits of it, but also know when to stop. Because you only hurt both yourself and your neighbor if you push too hard. And because their eyes, ears, and mind are closed, they aren't hearing you anyway. You're merely pummeling their walls, and they're only going to feel cornered and threatened. So when it gets to that point, instead turn to someone who will always listen to you, God. Pray. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for the weeds. Pray. He's ready to heal us, and as Isaiah tells us and Matthew reminds us, he's there, ready to heal and help us if all we do is turn to him. Turn to him with open minds, hearts, and ears and eyes, open and willing to accept more of the truth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.